period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. I will now combine items 3 and 4 for approval of the minutes for March 11th, 2025, and approval of the agenda for April 8th, 2025, and hold and combine or delete any items.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Item 5 is informational items. Receive a report and updates from the South County liaison, Mark Moskowitz, on the Wings and Wildlife event scheduled for May 3rd, 2025 at the Pyramid Canyon Park, and any other updates from Clark County.
Thank you, Chair. If we can bring up my presentation. The first one is going to be the, let's see if we got it. There we go. So coming up on May 3rd, 2025 is going to be our Wings and Wildlife event. This is organized by the Colorado River Heritage Greenway Park Trail Advisory Council. This will be our second year doing this since the COVID years, and we're very excited. It was a lot of fun last year. We're going to have kite flying, bounce houses, a wildlife treasure hunt. There'll be music. Treats from Pink Box will be there. We're going to have a caricature artist there to kind of draw you if you want to get a picture of yourself. And then and a bunch of resources from state, local, federal, all officials will be out there. So we're very excited. It's a free event. It's going to be at the Pyramid Canyon Park. Please come. You'll be seeing more information and flyers will be coming out. But we have the flyers in the back, but we're very excited to host it again this year. So. The second thing is on Tuesday, April 2nd, the Board of County Commissioners approved $4.5 million to support 5 new construction rehabilitation projects for affordable housing units. And they released a video. I want to share it with everyone. It does include Laughlin. We have a project coming along, so I will play that.
She makes the best things.
Clark County's Welcome Home Program and Community Housing Fund is proving to be a bona fide blessing for low-income families, seniors, and working moms and dads by assisting them in opportunities to secure affordable housing. Since these programs were initiated by the Board of County Commissioners in 2022, Clark County has allocated more than $230 million to address this most basic and critical need. Clark County continues working with steadfast community partners who develop, finance, build, and manage affordable housing communities that people call home. April is recognized as Fair Housing Month across the country, and the Clark County Board of Commissioners awarded more than $45 million for 4 new projects and to rehab another community, the Riverwood Village Apartments in Laughlin. An already popular residential complex in Laughlin, all 207 units at Riverwood Village will undergo extensive rehabilitation. Updated energy-efficient doors and windows will be installed, and the entire community will be spruced up with new asphalt parking, accessible sidewalks, a new playground, picnic areas, and dog park. Nevada Hand is the Silver State's largest affordable housing developer, and Serene Pines 2 will build 231 units for low-income seniors in South Las Vegas. The striking 4-story complex will offer 1- and 2-bedroom apartments with on-site amenities including a clubhouse, multi-purpose room, computer labs, library, theater, community aquatic center, and courtyard. The Gagne Senior Apartments will add 190 affordable housing units in the fast-growing southwest part of the valley. Coordinated Living and Ovation Property Management will construct 1- and 2-bedroom senior apartments with state-of-the-art kitchen and bathroom appliances. A premier fitness center, swimming pool, and multiple gathering spaces are just some of the amenities that await future residents in this resort-style community. Developer George Jakakis Incorporated is bringing 50 affordable housing units for families to Henderson. The Volunteer Apartments 2 feature 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units in this L-shaped community. Volunteer will provide on-site amenities, including a pool, clubhouse, and open space courtyard. Located on Nellis Boulevard, Nellis Grove Apartments will become home to 119 families. The Chic Community Center will be the centerpiece for residents, with cost-effective and sustainable lighting and landscaping. Nearly 4 acres in size, Nellis Grove is situated in an east side corridor with plenty of nearby shopping, dining, and retail options. The Welcome Home Community Housing Fund has helped thousands of grateful residents find permanent homes and enjoy secure, peaceful community living. To date, the fund has allocated more than $230 million to 42 projects, leading to the construction or rehabilitation of nearly 5,000 affordable housing units. It's estimated there's a shortage of more than 80,000 homes for low-income residents in Southern Nevada. Clark County, these, and many other dedicated community partners are proud that the Welcome Home Program funding will help collaborate future public and private partnerships and create new homes for seniors, veterans, and low-income residents. You can find more information on the Welcome Home Community Housing Fund on the county website at clarkcountynv.gov.
So I just want to share that I know we're really excited that we were able to get all the units in the Riverwood complex that are going to be renovated, and it's going to be spruced up a little bit as well. So we're excited for that.
That's nice. If I could add also, that project is a $72 million project, and it also is an acquisition for a new owner of that property.
Oh, wonderful.
So in the scoring process that we had through CDAC, that was the number one of all 35 of us.
That's
that
great.
Was the number one project. And in talking with the developer, that will be a change for the community as well, because the historical way that the new owners manage their properties is very good. So I think that's also, they're going to be purchasing it from, I believe, the original owners. And
wonderful.
So the new, I think that'll be a very good fit with our little community as well.
Wonderful. And thank you, Kathy, for all you do with CDAC with that project as well. So yeah, I was very excited to share that. The next thing, some bittersweet news. I don't know if you've heard, Principal Don Estes is retiring. There was a surprise retirement party a few weeks ago that myself, Bob Ashland, and Lieutenant Rogers and Gino and his team were able to attend. She was very thrown off. She had no idea. It was a fun thing to do for her, but she'll definitely be missed in the community. I'm very confident. I know I spoke with Ashlyn about how the process is for the next principal, and I know our community will have a big say in who's able to be the next principal. So I know we're losing a great resource in Dawn, but I know our next principal will be just as good. So it was a fun time to celebrate her and just thank her for all she's done. And we did the new Bennett Elementary School gym, which is beautiful. I'm glad that she was able to experience that for at least a year before she left. So some other really exciting news. I don't know if you've been to Spirit Mountain Activity Center. The parking lot is completely repaved. It looks beautiful. I'm so happy. Public Works did a really good job of, while they're actually doing the turnouts, they were able to do this project as well. Commissioner Naft really asked them to get this done. So that was done last weekend. It's all been painted by Real Property Management, so they did a really good job. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's very, very nice. So we're excited about that. This is some quick information, not quick, but this came starting Saturday, and it's kind of cut off there, but if we could remove the ribbon on the bottom. So the bus stop on Bruce Woodbury across the Legion, I know Commissioner Naft, myself, it's been a big push. I wanted that closed for, it doesn't serve anything. It literally just serves to cross the street. It's very dangerous. I know we did have a death there. So I worked with Silver Rider. We did a whole kind of, we drove around in their buses to see what they could do. So you'll notice if you go down there now, there's going to be caution tape. So that bus stop is currently not being used. However, on Cougar Drive, and I don't know if you can see there, we've moved two temporary bus stops. So no one has to cross Bruce Woodbury anymore. It'll be much easier once you leave the Legion or you leave the Vista or the Vintage. You'll be able to actually catch a bus stop much, much closer. So Silver Rider is doing a two-month kind of program. They have to test it to make sure it works, because their bus drivers now have to come down on Cougar and make a left turn on Bruce Woodbury just to make sure it's safe for them. I believe it's going to work, as you can see there. So that one at the bottom is going to be closed now. So you won't have to cross the street. There's two temporary bus stops. I took pictures this morning of them. Just if you have any questions, call Silver Rider or call us. But In all honesty, it's actually going to help Vista and Vintage as well, because now there's a much closer bus stop than going all the way down across Bruce Woodbury. So I'm very excited that Silver Rider, Sue, and Mike were able to help us with that and just let them know what you see and what you feel. I think it's going to be a lot safer. Please be courteous if you see them trying to turn onto Bruce Woodbury from Cougar. It is a new turn. They will be going up to the top of Cougar and making kind of a U-turn and going down. So that works. We're working on kind of building that out as well. But for right now, it works to do a circle. The school is still accessible. There's a path between the top of the apartments there to the school, so students can actually walk down a safe path, get there, get the bus. Cougar will not be connected, and we talked to Silver Rider because, to be honest, it actually creates more traffic if you open it, because then people are going to cut through there from Bruce Woodbury. And also for school security, you talk with Metro, I mean, that then eliminates your one in and one out. Now you have two entries into the school, and it's a little more dangerous. So for right now, we're keeping that. It actually increases bus ridership. So if you have any questions, let us know. But I'm really happy we were able to get this taken care of. So. Yeah. And then that ends those presentations there. And then the last thing is the Silver Copper Crossing in Laughlin Parkway. We had the 10 turnouts. They look really great. There's lots of signage on them that says emergency turnout, 900 feet, half a mile, quarter of a mile. And then there's signage there. It says emergency stopping only. So we're really happy to see those. Thank you for everyone for their patience. It was only a 2-week program. We were able to have it open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the community was great, and it looks really good. So we're happy to have those out there. And those are all my updates. So thank you.
Thank you. Laughlin Rotary is not here. Receive a report from Lieutenant Rogers with Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during past month and other crime concerns.
All right, thank you for having me today. We'll go over the stats first, because I think that's usually the less of the highlight of the events, and I got to step up my pitcher game that Mark has here, because he's got a lot of cool pitchers. So hopefully you're following us on social media. We do post a lot of our pitchers to Facebook and Instagram, but I'll know for the next couple meetings I got to outdo Mark and bring more pitchers. So because we have a lot of cool events. All right, for March 2025, we handled 286 calls for service here in the greater Laughlin area. 321 last year in the same month, so down for about 10%, which is pretty good for us. Traffic citations, we wrote 96 of them. We handled 5 DUIs, made 7 arrests for domestic violence, and our Tucker holding facility had a pretty busy month handling 31 total arrests, which is any jurisdiction in the tri-state area that books an inmate into our facility. A couple calls for service at the school, and then like Mark mentioned, we were there for the retirement of Principal Estes. We have a really good relationship with her, so we're hoping to do the same with whoever the new principal is and however that process looks on how they pick the next person, but we're looking forward to working hand in hand with them and continuing that positive relationship. We had our annual Cops and Bobbers event. It's kind of an event we do every year to take kids fishing. This year, we did it at the marina. If you haven't been to the marina, it was beautiful. They opened it up. I just want to thank Mr. Ducal, his family that owns the marina. He was very gracious host out there. We also had Corey Brown from All Out Racing, had a couple of their little off-road cars there, had a couple food trucks, a DJ. We raffled off fishing poles to some of the kids, so kids may not have left with a fish, but they left with a fishing pole, and hopefully they will return on a day when it's not so busy with race cars and DJs and scaring all the fish away. So every year our goal is to catch a fish. We just have not done that yet, so one of my sergeants is scuba certified, and next year he may be waiting in the water so we could have one fish caught at least. So that might be our PR stunt for next year. But regardless, it was a great event. County Commissioner's Office helped a lot with it. We appreciate Mark and Commissioner Naft. Silver Rider, for any kid that doesn't have transportation, they came and picked kids up. They went to the Boys and Girls Club, picked up a large group of kids from there. So we do try to make the event accessible to anybody. For the Wildlife Habitat Improvement in Nevada helped out a lot with some of the donations. So all in all, a very successful event for spring break for the kids. So it was a good time to be out there for several hours. But that was good. So We're still continuing with our, we do a blood drive here in this room every 8 weeks. So if you haven't had the opportunity to donate blood, it's very simple. You can register on the website. Usually sells out, so they don't normally take walk-ins. So just if you want to participate in the blood drive, we're kind of on a regular schedule here with them. And we even get donations from the public here. I think the last couple months we've gotten several boxes of pink box donuts. So we're always looking for sugar donations while people are donating blood. So it works out very good. Tomorrow is our monthly coffee with a cop. We're going to do that at 11 a.m. at the market, just there on Needles, at 3100 South Needles. I'm sure everyone's familiar with it. But stop by, do some grocery shopping. We'll be in the corner, kind of the little spot off to the right of the registers. Probably be myself, some of my sergeants. I'll have detectives there. So anybody that has any direct questions or improvements or things they want to talk to an officer about without having to be on hold, we're there. Come stop by. No question is too small or too big. And then that's kind of our monthly staple of community outreach. The following Saturday, the 19th, is the Laughlin Easter Egg Hunt. That will be at Spirit Mountain Park starting at 10 a.m. running to about noon. So feel free to bring your families out for that. And then there'll be an Easter service on Sunday the 20th at the Laughlin Community Church starting at 11 a.m. For anyone that's available for that. Big planning that we're doing right now is, as we're all aware, of a lot of long-term residents here in Laughlin. There's the annual Laughlin River Run that's kind of faded away a little bit. It's turned into the Bullhead Mayhem motorcycle event. The last few years it's been pretty quiet. So I met with the chief of Bullhead, just kind of put a little plan together that we did last year. So I'll bring down some extra resources from Vegas. I'll have three extra squads down here, which will be about 15 to 18 more cops that'll just kind of be available on Casino Drive. We'll have some reader boards up that'll say, no OMG colors or cuts, as they called, for kind of the jackets they wear. All the casinos are on board with that. There's signage that all the casinos are going to put out. That way it's private property. So if someone shows up wearing kind of an OMG attire, then they're asked to either take it off or leave. So besides that, a couple like small concerts. We have the rodeo coming this weekend. I've been down here 4 years and have never seen a rodeo here in town. So I'm excited to come to the rodeo. That's always a good time. I think there's still tickets available. It's not sold out. So if anybody, it's Saturday and Sunday. So come stop by. Weather should be good. And that's kind of it. If anybody has any questions or comments or concerns or anything, then I'm here.
Morgan, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.
Receive a report from Sergeant Jim Waller of Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activity and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns.
Good afternoon. Sergeant Tim Waller, Nevada Highway Patrol, Laughlin Searchlight. Last month, March 2025, our agency made 433 traffic stops, issued 423 citations. Commercial guy did 48 commercial inspections. We had 7 crashes and 2 warrant arrests, resulting in a total of 559 total contacts with the public. Any questions?
Any questions? Good. Thank you. Save a report from Clark County Fire Department, oh, there he is. Sorry about that.
Hello, I'm Battalion Chief Tyler Frainer. I represent Battalion 13. That's 5 stations total. Is my geographical area to include 3 in-town stations in the southeast, as well as the 2 Laughlin stations down here. I like to typically have one of my captains that works regularly down here with me to talk with you guys, because that's who you interact with more frequently. However, we had a fantastic opportunity for some boat training today, and so I hope you don't mind that I handle this myself. That boat training, they've been hitting it really hard preparing for the summer months, and I think there's a lot of value in that. With that being said, I have some statistics for you here, and if you have any questions for me, I'd be pleased to answer them. So engine 76, in the first 3 months of the year, they ran 81 medical calls. Medical calls are going to be you know, trauma, medical, any kind of traffic accidents. They ran 81 of those total for the first 3 months. That's a decrease of 20% compared to last year, which is very good. Fires, on the other hand, we had 29 fires, which was an increase of 123% compared to last year. I'm not exactly sure why that happened. I'll talk with Captain Hutcherson and see what the deal is, but if there was something reoccurring, I'm certain he would have informed me of the reason why. Other calls are going to be people that have fallen and can't get up, public service, elevator calls, things of this nature. Engine 76 ran a total of 34. Total of 144 calls, that's an increase of 4.3%. In the fire service, we want to see a decrease in calls, specifically in Laughlin, because we want to be available for the important calls to take care of our citizens as often as possible. We don't want them to be out on something and miss a call for service for somebody else. Rescue 76, they did have an increase this last 3 months. 210 medical calls, 8 fire calls, 3 other calls for a total of 221, which represents an increase of 39%. I don't know if you're aware, but we do also have Truck 76. Truck 76 is cross-manned. It's a very expensive piece of equipment that we try to stay in the barn, and the engine guys can get on that truck and utilize it if they feel that there's a need for that specific piece of equipment. It had a total of 8 calls. That's 6 medical, 1 fire, 1 other. So in total, Station 76 ran 373 calls over the course of the last 3 months, which is a 24% increase. Now, again, our goal is to be running less calls. And so an increase in call volume from last year to this year, for me, is not alarming, because the previous 2 years we did a fantastic job of reducing the number of responses that we did not feel like the fire department needed to respond to. And we've just been sending the private ambulance companies. And again, the reason for this is because we want to be available for our citizens when they do have an emergent need. So the ambulance company is able to go out and handle things like a stubbed toe or a very, very low level medical incident. We don't wrap up our firefighters with that. So Engine 85, they ran 161 medical calls, 30 fires, 22 other, for a total of 213 calls for service, and that's exactly the same as last year, so that's good. Total calls for service, 587 in Laughlin, which was an increase in 14.4%, but again, I don't see any problems with this. That's the presentation I have for you. If you have any questions for me, I'd be pleased to answer them.
Madam Chair, just clarification, when you said at one point you had 29 fires, but you mean fire calls, right? Not fires.
Not structure fires.
Right, I'm no, like, wow, man. Where was I? Okay.
So, you know, oftentimes we do have what we call full responses, which requires mutual aid from Bullhead City as well as responses from Las Vegas to handle. And so some of these incidents certainly would have been those, but structure fires, we would all be very aware of and how big and significant they are. From time to time, fires come in and they appear to be a structure fire. We respond on those, but then the first in unit gets on scene and finds something like a trash can that was burning in the backyard. But fires in general do encompass building fires, vehicle fires, dumpster fires, trash fires, brush fires, vehicle fires, and anything else that likes to burn.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
See a report from Jason Bailey with Big Bend Water District regarding the status of the water system.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. Jason Bailey with the Big Bend Water District. With our monthly report, to start with water use, total diversions for the month of March were 267 acre feet, and year to date is at 749 acre feet, up from this time last year. Water system update, our staff has begun cleaning out the waste basin to remove sludge and foliage. This is part of a regular maintenance of that system. And wanted to give a financial update. through February of 2025. The fiscal year accumulated debt balance, decreased to $1.89 million. I also wanted to announce a couple of meetings and workshops coming up. The Big Bend Water District Budget Workshop will be held on Monday, April 21st at 1 p.m. And that will be held, the address is 100 North City Parkway in Las Vegas. That meeting will also be broadcast. And then the Big Bend Water District budget hearing will be held Monday, May 19th at 9 o'clock a.m. And that will be at the Clark County Government Center in Las Vegas, both of those meetings, yeah. And they will be broadcast as well. And that is my report.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Receive a report from Will Smith with Clark County Water Reclamation District.
Good afternoon, Will Smith, Clark County Water Reclamation District, the Laughlin Water Resource Center. With statistics for March 2025, we treated an average of 1.5 million gallons a day, producing clean water returned to the Colorado River. In March this time, in 2024, was the same amount. So it was an equal amount of per gallon per year treated. Service sewer complaints, we had none. Odor complaints, we had none. Call before you dig tickets, we had three call before you dig tickets for the Laughlin area. Let me see here. And as usual, our flow comparison chart is attached to the report. Is there any other questions?
Madam Chair, if you remember a while back, I think we're even going to go into like September, October, I asked if there was a set of financials that water reclamation would have as it pertains to Laughlin. Can you provide that for this board?
I can get it for this report, yes. So I have our approved budget for 2024-2025, but you want a breakdown of?
Yeah, as it pertains to, you know, this community and our water reclamation. It's just a matter of keeping on top of anything in case there's any rate increases or anything that, you know, we can foresee coming.
Yes, ma'am.
Please.
Okay.
Thank
Any
you.
Other? That's it. Thank you. Have a great day.
Receive a report from Kelly Lear, but I don't see her. Carrie Larson, Laughlin Chamber of Commerce, regarding current upcoming business activities.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Board. Here's a report for March of last month, and the month moving forward. We do have a networking breakfast on April 25th at 8:30 a.m. Southwest Behavioral Health will be there talking about community outreach and things that they're experiencing amongst our community members. I apologize for missing last month, but we were filming for the upcoming Chef's Food Fest, which is entitled Live and Let Dine. It will be June 19th at 5 o'clock. Doors will open. And as you know, it's a fundraiser that we facilitate for River Fund. Tickets are available now. They've been out for 1 week and we've already sold 95 of them. So please get your tickets early because they will be gone. I also missed last month because of the filming, but the next day I had the pleasure of flying up to Carson City to present AB 110, which is the bill that the Laughlin Chamber put together for Danielle Gallant to present to the legislature. We presented that on March 13th, and last Thursday, April 3rd, the Growth and Infrastructure Committee recommended it as a do pass. It was slightly amended because they added Senator Stone as another host to the bill, so we are hoping that before April 21st, it will get read before the Assembly and sent over to the Senate to start that process all over again. Yay. We also had the opportunity to meet with the governor in his office and gave him a little plaque as a official membership of the Laughlin Chamber. So that was a lot of fun. Our quarter one membership, last month we had two new members from Laughlin. For quarter one, we are up 8 members. We are at 317, and 32% of them are from Laughlin. The volunteers in partnership are still volunteering at all kinds of townwide events. They will be helping out with Travel Nevada's Rural Roundup that's happening this week. And if you'd like to sign up, there is a new email I wanted to point out. You can reach Sue Barilla. She's the new president. Her email is there. And, of course, you can always come down to the chamber or call. Our notary services are still on hold because it is sitting up with the state, and we've been waiting for about 2 months for Claudia to get her stamp, although they did cash the check 4 weeks ago. So hopefully we'll get that stamp soon. If there's any help anybody could give, we'd appreciate it.
Talk to the governor.
Maybe I could, because I'm going to be up there again on the 21st. So other than that, we don't have anything new on our ongoing projects other than what I mentioned for AB 110, and I apologize, I did not update that back spot. Does anyone have any questions? Great, thank you.
Thank you. Jackie Wallen from Laughlin Tourism.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Board. Jackie Wallen, Laughlin Tourism Commission. As you know, or you should know, rodeos this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. It's in the evening on Saturday and the morning on Sunday. Tickets are still available for both days. We have added a marketplace for retail and concessions right outside of the entry doors, or the entry gates, I guess you should say, into the rodeo arena. So you can go to the websites I've posted there, or just go to Laughlin Cinch Rodeo and Google, and it will take you right to there. Our townwide concert for spring is Big and Rich and Gretchen Wilson, and that's going to be on May 24th. Tickets are still available. Rockets Over the River is planned for July 4th. As usual, at 9 o'clock, but it's going to be a 4-minute extension this year with a whole lot more cannons going off. And Message to the Stars should be starting by the end of April. And that is the program where we allow people to send us messages to their loved ones on the shells, and we make sure that they know the time, second, and description of the shell or the fireworks that's going up so they can watch for it. We did add Miranda Lambert for September 27th for our first fall concert. We do have another one to announce at the end of this month for October. I'm not at liberty to say who that is. That's up to Golden Entertainment. All of these events are sponsored by the Laughlin Tourism Commission, not fully promoted, but sponsored, so that you know that some of the money is coming from the seven resort properties. I wanted to go on and tell you that we're hot and heavy in producing the accommodations for the Swiftwater Rescue Team again this year. We will accommodate all those lifeguards who are traveling in under the contract of Bullhead City to ensure that they have accommodations. Those lifeguards have a safe place to stay in and a place to rest and eat. Those will be on through September. If you don't mind, I'd like to tell you that the seven resorts, in collaboration with the Laughlin Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Center, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, will be submitting Nevada marketing grant application for a year-long destination marketing campaign that will include digital asset and social media upgrades, planning a celebration for the Davis Dam's 75th anniversary, and preparing for inclusion in the Route 66 100th anniversary. Not because we're on Route 66, because of our close proximity and closest resort to that route, and that we want to make sure that we support all those who are traveling the historical highway. In addition, I'd like to submit a couple documents. Okay to approach?
Good
There's a proclamation from Mojave County Board of Supervisors and from the City of Bullhead City supporting the reopening of the tours at Davis Dam for our middle school students to learn the science and history behind that dam, and also encourage some of our visitors to partake in that. It's just another reason to visit our destination. And I would like to encourage you guys to write a letter to Clark County in support, and hope they could provide a proclamation to get the Department of Interior and Bureau of Reclamation to help us out with that. Lastly, as the administrator of the Water Flow Committee established over 5 years ago, I would like to update you on the seriousness of our efforts to ensure we have a voice in future Davis Dam water releases, schedules in consideration of our needs, and navigational waterways for safety, recreation, and tourism. I'm anticipating regular progress reports for this monthly meeting, and sincerely hope that we can count on your support, LTAB and Clark County, as we voice our concerns with the Department of Interior and Bureau of Reclamation. At this point, during a two double peak period for the river, we're experiencing low water releases during the hours of 10 and 2, and those are the most used hours. Historically, not the most, but the beginning of most recreational waterway activities. And a water rescue vessel cannot launch under 3 units. And right now, we're experiencing one unit waterways. It's not because we haven't voiced our opinion. I'm kind of opinionated about this water, and we have been stomping our feet for a long time. We're not making any friends at this point. We're just being ignored, and you need to know that if there's blood in the water, it's going to affect us all. And when you ask somebody to come and visit our destination, they're going out at this first peak period, and it's got 3 units, sometimes 4 units. We have a unit down, so of course we'll not get 5 units, but they'll go out ensuring that they can have a good time, and then all of a sudden the water drops. Several of us have experienced abandoned people in the middle of the river with no way to get them out. Injuries, abandoned boats, those kind of things for hours at a time, with children, with no water, no shade, those kind of things out in the middle of the river. And it, to me, it's merely unacceptable that we can't be considered in the 24-hour release period to ensure that everyone can use the water. The new compact or treaty is coming up at the end of 2026, and we need to start moving a little bit faster on ensuring that we in the lower basin find some attention in this, because it's going to kill tourism, it's going to hurt our municipalities if we don't have water releases, ruin the intake valves that we have for water reclamation and water usage, and it's just going to hurt all the way downriver. So there's got to be a way that it can be negotiated, and I'm hoping that you guys will stay abreast. I will make sure that I report to you each month to let you know what our progress is. I'll stand for any questions.
Madam Chair, who do you feel is the best representative to address that?
Boulder Station, BOR.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Department of Interior. I can send the names to you.
Okay.
And I can also send you, I sent a sample letter to Mark so that it has the right terminology, because I know if you're not in water reclamation or usage or releases, sometimes it's hard to understand how you need to talk to them, and we've tried to put a letter together.
And do we feel the commissioner has a good
ground
on this, or is this just something he may not be in his purview right now?
No, we definitely want to support it with anything Commissioner said. We'll write letters, we'll do all that to whoever we need to write to. We don't really have any jurisdiction over because it is federal waters, so that's the hard part. But we're more than happy, I've talked with Jackie, to write letters of support for it. The most current thing is I spoke with Toby Cotter with Bullhead City, and I said, let us know what you're doing so we can kind of work in partnership. He told me to wait for a second because he was having a meeting with the BOR before we sent a bunch of letters, so they didn't get, you know, shooed off, so they got in the door. I'll follow up with Toby, see how that meeting went, and see what the next steps are, and we can kind of do it in unison. So,
and then also the governor's office?
What's that?
Also the governor's office?
Yeah, we can write one to the governor's office. We can talk to the governor's office and tell them we'd like them to take some action as well. But yeah, Commissioner Naft is on board. I know we've spoken with Jackie of just whoever we need to write a letter to, if we need to write to the president or whoever, we can, you know, we want to do something to support. So,
okay. Not to mention Stavros Anthony is big on tourism, and he's really concerned about it too. It's not just a matter of making sure that we have a voice. It's a matter of coming up with a conclusion, some kind of strategy, because although those are U.S. Coast Guard navigational waters, we all who are here have an interest.
Right.
You have a business interest. I have recreational and tourism interest. So with all of us working together on it, we are getting a better voice. We have MEC on board with us, teaching us all about navigational and hydroelectricity.
Yeah, but if they're not paying attention to us, right, we need to find a way to remedy that.
We need a totem pole.
Yes.
So just prior to our last meeting, I got Representative Lee's staff to attend the call. Mm-hmm. So they were on that. She also has sent a letter to BOR. They have an acting director right now, and there hasn't been one named for appointment. So it's a little bit in limbo as to who is the top of that food chain at this point. But Lieutenant Governor's office also set in on that call. We had everybody that we possibly could get, and I'm working on the Arizona congressman for that as well.
We just want to make sure that everybody understands now.
Right.
You have it in your brain that it's coming. We need all the support we can get from whoever.
Right, and the worst case scenario is we have a swift water and we can't launch. And that is something none of us want.
Yeah. And that's just planting a seed so you guys understand when we come to you and say, uh-oh, that something's happening somewhere.
Yeah, and our businesses are being shut down as well because they're changing the flows without keeping to that schedule. So it's becoming an issue.
Great. Thank you for letting us know.
Anything else?
Yeah, it is a problem. Okay, item 6, planning and zoning, none. Item 7, general business, none. Now it's time for comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, if applicable. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson of the board by majority vote.
Good afternoon, Robert Bilber. I represent the Waffen Economic Development Corporation. I have probably 3 items, maybe 4 items to discuss, so I'd appreciate the exemption from the 3-minute rule if possible.
We'll see how it goes. Go ahead.
Okay. The first one is right now there's AB 530 is in the legislature. It has to do with the indexing of gas tax. Hearing, as you know, the vast majority of our fuel in the Laughlin Township is purchased in Arizona. I want you to know there's an obvious conflict. I own 2 of the stations, and Herbstone owns the other 2 stations. Right now, we're over 90-cent tax difference between the cost of fuel on both sides of the river, and what we're experiencing is the same thing that every border community has been experiencing, whether Mesquite, Wendover versus Utah. It's not any news. I've been trying to work with with Public Works and with the regional government transportation on trying to get some barrier, a 3-mile radius from the state line, a 5-mile radius from the state line, to get something reasonable. This is not going to work. It's now created over a 90-cent spread between one side of the river and the other, and I can tell you that my kids buy gas in Arizona, and it's only going to continue. Now, the statewide, I've discussed with both Guy Hobbs, representing the regional transportation, and I put in calls with MJ Maynard, and they haven't been returned. I don't like taking a position like this against Clark County's fuel tax. Obviously, it's very important. But the same doesn't work for Prim, it doesn't work for Wendover, it doesn't work for Mesquite, and it doesn't and hasn't worked for Laughlin. And although I supported the indexing of gas tax, I no longer can do that. And I think I speak on behalf, I'll tell you, I do speak on behalf of our Economic Development Corporation. This has got to end. And that's one issue. The next issue is the continuing lack of correspondence from Real Property Management and Shawnee Coleman with respect to the status and what's going on with the preparation for the auction and sale of the 5,000 acres inside the Fort Mojave Development Fund. I've placed 7 phone calls to Shawnee Coleman and not received any return phone calls. I've expressed my dissatisfaction with our county liaison on it. And so, as you know, I don't represent S3 and what they're doing with respect to the 600 acres on the Arizona side or the 5,100 acres on the Nevada side, should it ever be auctioned or sold, either under 944, an economic development direct sale, or by auction. I was expecting something to come from Real Property Management, and I would request the board request somebody from Real Property Management to come down and explain what is the future of the auction or sale of the Southlands project. Now it's becoming critical, you know, on the Arizona side. The auction for the necessary land will take place on April 23rd, which is real close. They pretty much submitted most of their plans, and they don't have a lot to wait for. I have personally seen independent financing for S3 of over $78 million for site acquisition and the construction of 2 Jack Nicklaus golf courses and the complete 600-acre grading of the site. So, you know, do I believe they're real? Yes, they're real. Do I believe it's going to happen like a bat out of hell right after April 23rd? Yes, I do. If I see anything different than that, I'll let you know. I don't represent S3. I represent the LADC in assisting S3 with respect to what they're doing in Arizona on the other side of the bridge and what they're planning on potentially bidding on the Nevada side. They are a viable bidder for that property. The next issue is the Fort Mojave Development Fund itself. Over the last 10 days, I've placed 7 phone calls to Jessica Colvin, County Finance, asking for what we normally get, and that's an accounting of the 4 Fort Mojave development accounts. I'd appreciate if the board would assist in getting that information out of County Finance. There's just no calls coming from Las Vegas people, nothing. And it's rather disheartening. The water is one issue, and the lack of response. This report didn't provide us any potential on the meeting of how much longer is this going to take. Publicly, I've had to go out with the private industry lenders, both municipal lenders and public lenders, and pretty much say, you know, based upon what's going on or not going on for the past 4 years, we probably are not going to see any development here even start for 8 years. 8 years. And that is logically trained into what happened with the Board of Equalization and the property taxes for the 25-26 year, which as soon as we get the equalization done from the assessor's office is going to drop property taxes for all unimproved properties of every zoning classification and all commercial properties, probably by 15% compounded. And the Board of Equalization was very clear. They're going to continue to drop property taxes in the Laughlin Township until there's potable water service on reasonable terms. And there isn't right now. And although waiting for 3 or 4 years just for financing of a one water tank for $900,000, I just don't see where the direction's going. I don't see it changing. You know, I think what this board needs to find out is, fine, it's dropping. How much does that affect our parks and recreation? How much does that affect our fire department? How much does that affect our school district? And there's my three minutes. I think I covered, you know, no calls from property, no calls from, I think I covered all my items. You know, thank you very much for the time. I just don't, you know, it's depressing. After my 45 years here, it's very depressing. Okay? Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, it's Gary Isaac, 3687 West Cliff Avenue. I wanted to tell the board that I've met with Mark and I have communicated with Las Vegas Valley Water for the purpose of determining what the consumption of water has been, not solely much in an acre-foot factor, but the actual daily production, treatment, and distribution. And those records are to be maintained up to 3 years from present day back. And I have not received that information. Mark and I discussed it. Jason and I have talked about it. He put me in touch with their records department. They claimed they would have them in 5 days. 6 days was yesterday. Again, no response at all. This information is a necessity in order to take the assumption that has been made about water requirements here in town. And yet it has not been provided for analysis. I'm very concerned that things are not being provided according to the rules. So I just want to put you in touch with that, understand what's going on, and we'll keep you informed.
Anyone else? I see the Parks and Recreation has shown up, so.
Kelly Lair, UNR Extension. Wow, I snuck in. Awesome. We've been hosting a Tuesday afternoon class at the library for homeschool students. That's where I came from. My master gardeners and my instructor couldn't teach today, so my kids were painting pots because they are going to be part of a countywide children's farmers market on Earth Day, April 22nd in Las Vegas. So Devin is arranging their transport of 10 of the kids, and they'll be representing Laughlin. And so we were painting pots and window boxes so that they can put their herbs in there. They're going to be putting dill in there, some cilantro, some basil. They've been working out of their hydroponic units. And then they also have two raised beds in the back of the library. So they're harvesting items, two from the community garden bed that I went and peeked at today and grabbed some great carrots from. But they're going to showcase those at the end of the month. And so we're excited about that. Devin also has an outdoor Nevada hike, the last one of the school season planned for Cottonwood Cove. That's on April 28th. And Laughlin and Searchlight Kids will participate in their families. We've gotten, you know, as many as 15 to 25 people on those hikes because we're just kind of exploring the area. We want to get them outside and away from their devices, so it's working. We've also been working 4-H into the second grade science curriculum at Bennett on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. It will go through the end of April for the school year, and they too have been growing hydroponics, making worm gardens, dissecting seeds, and their favorite part, taste testing their harvests. So we began working with Bennett Elementary School teachers too to provide an after-school Lego robotics, and we have 19 kids in that. That's the max we can do. Third through fifth grade, they're loving it. They're theme is space, and so we've been watching the International Space people coming back. We've been watching the moon in its different phases, and I kind of work that into because UNR Extension, we like to teach while they're playing as well. So we're also going to build on robotic principles this summer. Laughlin Library just confirmed with me that they'll be doing that at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays starting that first week of June. We go 6 weeks, and then we'll drive on our way home to Searchlight and offer the same thing in Searchlight at that library. The kids love it. That's what they asked for. That's what the parents asked for. So that's what we're bringing them. And Thursday 4-H programming at Boys and Girls Club, we kind of transitioned from their hydroponics units, which they have two towers there, getting those going. And then they have raised garden beds in between their area and the senior center, which they had an herb garden class last week, and they started planting some herbs there, and they like that too. But now the phase for the Boys and Girls Club is they're using those herbs in food. It's their favorite part. They think they're foodies. They think they're chefs. So we experimented with herbs in teas and seltzers and lemonades the first week. And then last week we made different types of salsas. So that's their favorite part. They get to eat what they make. And then sadly enough, our shooting sports specialist was supposed to come down to host a beginning archery clinic at the high school last Saturday. So we were denied the park. Clark County said it was a liability, so we went to the high school, and the high school was just going to open up their gate and let us use the blacktop area that they've used for the Title IX sports in the past. Didn't want them to open a building for me to use the bathroom. It was just to come shoot and have a safe place, and we had 40-mile-an-hour winds, and it was protected, so it was perfect, right? So it was free and open to the high school students. We had 12 kids interested, so grandmas and parents had reached out to me. They signed all their waivers. And at 5 o'clock on Friday, we got word from the high school that the main office in Las Vegas was not allowing us to use the space, which is par for the course to kick the can and then shut the gate on a Friday. I have programming in Searchlight, and I don't get home until 7:30. So I called as many parents as I could. And then for giggles, just in case nobody got the word from social media and my emails, I drove down here on Saturday morning and sat outside the high school with the sign. So it was a sad day for 4-H UNR, but I just talked with Tanya at the high school, at the library. She's going to allow me a makeup day with those 12 families, and we have an indoor version of archery called Hoverball, and it's a big blow-up like what you'd see at a carnival, and they have indoor like suction cups, and you try and hit the ball off a cone shape that's blowing air and the ball's hovering over it. And so we're going to bring how you stand and how you draw and how you release and bring that to them on the 18th. There's no school that day. So she's letting me have the library from 10 to 1 for the high school. And I brought it down to my 4-H junior high kids because there was enough room. So we're going to do that on the 18th. And then we're going to try for the 3rd. That was our second archery day. I'm still just looking for a location. So standing up here today pleading, if there was a park or a place or the old elementary school, the families have asked for an archery club. And so we want to just come down once a month and have a safe place to shoot. So me not knowing the area, I'm trying everything. So whether it's the old equestrian center on the way down to Pyramid Canyon, if it's the parking lot at Pyramid Canyon, it has a rock background, which would be perfect. And then, of course, I drove around the old elementary school, and that was my first proposed site. And I don't even know who has that anymore. So anyways, that's my Obama soapbox now that I had the microphone in my face. We were thrilled to participate with Cops and Bobbers. That was a real fun event at the new marina. Beautiful job there, by the way. We handed out seeds and live plants and got people excited. And as we handed things out there, a couple of those same people showed up at our herb event at the senior center last week. They were excited. So they grabbed herbs, took them home, and they're going to try their hand at herbs at home. UNR is great at handing out stuff. So we have free things, and we try and tell people it's free. I don't think they believe us yet, but I think they'll get used to me here pretty soon. We have our Master Gardeners Ask a Master Gardener workshop every month, and it's at the library. It'll be on the 23rd. At 10:30, I have my 4 master gardeners, and they're wonderful. They not only maintain the community garden, but they answer questions. I've had people bring leaves, soil, and ask them, and they know so much. They've gone through the schooling and the education for it, so they'll let them know, oh, you have aphids, or your soil's too rocky, or you don't have proper drainage. So they do that every month, and we welcome everybody to join us. It's free. It's at the library. I have newsletters from UNR Extension's Healthy Aging Living in the back, and I set those down there this morning. So that was fast and furious. Any questions for me?
No, but I have a statement. Have you driven by the American Legion post 60? Go by there again, see if there's might be something that would work for your archery group. then get a hold of me and let me know, and then I'll make sure that the members, I'm sure, would approve that.
I would love that.
5 acres there.
Yeah, and it's space, and really the kids are learning. So when they start, they'll be shooting as far as I am away from you. It's not much space.
Right.
To start.
We've got that huge block wall behind.
That would be perfect.
So
I appreciate that.
Something that, and then let me know.
Okay.
If you don't have my number, get it from Mark.
Excellent.
Or Tammy.
Anybody else for me?
If you go to Pyramid Canyon, where the work camp was, the second one, there's a fence there, but there's that big hill right behind it. You could stand in the driveway or the roadway, and I think that would be a perfect place for you.
I think so too, Fred. It's Clark County that I need to ask.
It's Clark County, right?
Right,
there.
Right.
Parks and Rec, Parks and Rec.
Right.
But no, so, we can definitely, I think what Chair said is a really good idea. I think that'll be a good spot.
I think Trey came out and talked to Bronson and said no because of liability reasons. So if you have a different idea, I'll take it.
We can work.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, our next meeting is May 13th at 2025 here in this building. And can I get a motion to adjourn?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.